ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। अददानस्त्रणं दन्तैरिदं याचे पुनः पुनः श्रीमद्रूपपदाम्भोजौ धुलिः स्याम जन्म जन्मनि। वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुत्पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं हंहयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरून् दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। So today we are trying to study from Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 7th chapter, verse number 18, which is on the board. Please recite after me. Ekadaroham arudham. Ekadaroham arudham. Lalayanti sutam sati. लालयन्ति सुतं सति गरिमाणं शिशोर्वोढुम् गरिमाणं शिशोर्वोढुम् न सेहे गिरिकूटवत्। वर्ड मीनिंग ट्रांसलेशन परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस। आई वुड लाइक टू रिक्वेस्ट वन थिंग एंड देन वन प्रेयर एंड देन वी विल स्टार्ट। First, I'll give the synopsis. So before that, a request to all the devotees. This is inspired from one of Prabhupada's lectures where he says, please do not misunderstand me. Before he starts, in between, he comes and he says, please, he folds his hands and he says, please do not misunderstand me. So similarly, I'm begging all devotees, whatever I say, please hear that fully and in context and don't take it out of context and try to misunderstand. There is a joke in Hindi that I'll say in English. That there was a teacher and he asked the students, he was an English class teacher. He asked the students, oh students, tell me how do you say in English, a girl, an unmarried girl is standing downstairs. It's a famous joke, maybe most of you know. So nobody could say, and the teacher replied, misunderstanding. So misunderstanding always takes place because of two things only, kanchan or kamini. Means our material attachments to something that creates misunderstanding between brothers, that creates misunderstanding between devotees. nations and everything. All fights all over the world are for these two things. From Mahabharata, Ramayana till date, whatever fights are taking place, whatever quarrels are taking place, are because of these two things. And that also only because of one thing actually, Kamini. Kanchan supports Kamini, that's why Kanchan. So please do not misunderstand me. And now we'll recite a prayer, because today's purport is discussion about Mother Yashoda. So there is a prayer quoted by Srila Prabhupada in his commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is called Nectar of Devotion. There he says this prayer by a Brahmana. It's the prayer to Nand Maharaj especially, but I'm also saying to Mother Yashoda, because both are on the same level. So the prayer goes in this way. Please recite after me. Please say it after me. First in English and then we will go in Sanskrit. Let the people of the world worship Vedas and Upanishads and other people. Please say it loudly so that I get a little encouraged and it becomes memorized also. And let others worship Mahabharata. But as far as I am concerned, I worship Maharaj Nand and Mother Yashoda, in whose courtyard that Supreme Brahman, who is the father of Brahma Jyoti, was crawling as a small baby, eating dirt and doing all kinds of naughty things. This is a beautiful prayer to Mother Yashoda and Nand Maharaj. Because without praying to them, we can't speak on the 10th canto, surely, on not on Balya Leela. So now the Sanskrit of it. Shrutim apare, smritim itare, bhartam anne, bhajantu bhav bhitaha, aham iha nandam mande, yasya linde param brahma. As far as I am concerned, aham iham nandam mande. I worship Nand Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. So that's the prayer. It's a very important thing to pray and to really surrender to these devotees, because Krishna says in Bhagavatam 11th canto to Uddhava that mad bhaktya puja vyadhika. Better than my worship is the worship of my devotee, because devotees are the transparent wire media to see Krishna. This transparent wire media is very nicely explained by some place in Prabhupada, by Prabhupada in some place. He says, like the deities, we are observing the deities from backside. We can't see the deities, they are quite distant. We see them small. So we use a glass. What is it called? Concave or convex? Which brings near? Concave, I think, right? So we use a concave glass to bring the deities near. So this is the transparent media of devotees, pure devotees and the spiritual master. They bring Krishna near to us. Krishna was very far. When we hear them, Krishna becomes more beautiful. One place Prabhupada also says that Krishna is already beautiful. Then actually Shukdeva Goswami himself is saying, Krishna is already beautiful, but the words of devotees glorifying Krishna make him more beautiful. That doesn't mean his beauty is fake. They are just glorifying him. But actually, they see with that loving eyes in which Krishna then says, okay, I become more beautiful. Duye lagi huda hudi. That concept of Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. So with that, one small thing, two statements of Prabhupada, very small statements, but two statements of Prabhupada which touch my heart, which will make us, if we follow these two things. This is about offering obeisances to the spiritual master and to the Lord. If we follow this, this is the sure shot, fastest and most comfortable way of making tremendous advancement in Krishna consciousness. Sure shot. And Prabhupada emphatically says, in one place he says, this I shared with many devotees in the ashram, at least 4 or 5 devotees. Today I am having the opportunity to share with you. It's beautiful. He says, even without going through the Vedic literature, hear carefully, even without going through the Vedic literature, one can become pure and enlightened simply by the mercy of Krishna. Full stop. Next sentence. Therefore, my Lord, the devotee says, I offer my humble obeisances unto you. Did it touch you? The import is, the first sentence says, anyways, we are not going to do anything by studying Vedic literature. Nothing will happen. Because Vedic literatures are called revealed scriptures. First thing. They are revealed in the heart by the mercy of the Lord. By cramming the Vedic literature, they may satisfy our brain. And when we speak, it may satisfy others' brain also. But the heart won't be transformed. And unless the heart is transformed, nobody can save us from Maya. Therefore, for heart's transformation, it's the mercy, descending mercy, which is required. And even intelligence-wise, even to memorize the shlokas, memorize Prabhupada's purports, and to use them at proper time, when it is required, requires the mercy. Because Krishna says, Jnanam cha apohanam cha. I give knowledge, and at particular time, I can take it back also. So that's why the devotee says, therefore, my Lord, I take the easy way out. I offer my humble obeisances to you. And the second statement is more elaborate. He says, a devotee's business, this is now our business. Prabhupada says in another place, a devotee's business is to constantly offer obeisances to the Lord and the spiritual master. This principle is the recognized way to come to the platform of bhakti. He says this is the principle of offering obeisance. This principle is the recognized way to come to the platform of bhakti. Full stop. As soon as one is on that platform, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and simply by understanding Krishna, one can go back home, back to Godhead. That's why the main essence of devotional service is to offer obeisances to Nand Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. With that, we'll come to the shloka. Shloka's word meaning. Please recite after me. Ekada. One time, estimated to have been when Krishna was 1 year old. Aroham on his mother's lap. Arudham, who was sitting. Lalayanti, was patting. Sutam, her son. Sati, mother Yashoda. Garimanam, because of an increase in heaviness. Shishoho, of the child. Vodhum, to bear him. Na, not. Sehe, was able. Giri Kutavat, appearing like the weight of a mountain peak. Translation: one day, a year after Krishna's appearance, Mother Yashoda was patting her son on her lap, but suddenly she felt the child to be heavier than a mountain peak, and she could no longer bear his weight. Purport: my throat is a little sore, so if you don't understand something, you have your mobiles to read on, or you can ask me. Purport: Lalayanti. Sometimes a mother lifts her child, and when the child falls in her hands, the child laughs, and the mother also enjoys pleasure. Yashoda used to do this, but this time Krishna became very heavy, and she could not bear his weight. Under the circumstances, it is to be understood that Krishna, see this statement, Prabhupada's poetic nature and love toward Krishna, and kind of joking with Krishna. Under the circumstances, it is to be understood that Krishna was aware of the coming of Trunavartasu. Come on, of course Krishna was aware. Under the circumstances, it has to be understood. Who would take him far away from his mother? Krishna knew that when Trinavart came and took him away from his mother's lap, Mother Yashoda would be greatly bereaved. He did not want his mother to suffer any difficulty from the demon. Therefore, because he is the source of everything, Janmadesya Yataha, he assumed the heaviness of the entire universe. The child was on the lap of Yashoda, who was therefore in possession of everything in the world. I'll repeat this. The child was on the lap of Yashoda, who was therefore in possession of everything in the world. But when the child assumed such heaviness, she had to put him down in order to give Trinavartasur an opportunity to take him away and play with him. For some time before the child returned to the lap of his mother. So today we'll discuss, the main thing will be, this is actually inspired from Devi Shakti Mataji's class. She gave one class in which you might have attended that class. She described the previous lives of all the demons fighting in Krishna Leela with Krishna. And they have all of them, and especially Trinavart, have a background of pure devotional service. Full and final pure devotional service. But still they fell down. So from that, we'll try to take lessons of the difficulties in devotional service. How to see it in the right perspective. The Shastras give us the right perspective. And the third thing, the most important thing, how to overcome those difficulties. Of course, just by having the right perspective, we can overcome. That's what Krishna did with Arjuna. Arjuna had so many difficulties in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna only gave him the perspective, the right angle of vision to see things. And everything became simple. Krishna did not do anything. Krishna did not give him special power, special strength. Arjuna had already all the power of the world. He was the topmost meritorious person in the world. In every field, spiritual and material. Yet he was completely broken hearted. And Krishna just gave him the right angle of vision to see things, and he was fire again. And just merely in 18 days, Prabhupada says this, 18 days, 64 crore people were ambushed. There was a river of blood, practically just by one person, Arjun. And Prabhupada says, see, the First World War and Second World War, both combined together, doesn't come, I calculated actually, it comes to 11 crore. Sorry, 11 million only. Not even crore. 11 million. First World War ran for something like 11, 12 years, whatever. Second World War went for 14, 15 years. So this is the spirit of right perspective. We can surely, if Arjun could conquer over the Kauravas, then we can surely conquer over Maya also. Because this is, we are on war. And anything that happens in the war field by a soldier, whatever happens to the soldier is very safe. He said, whatever happens in the line of fire, when he is in army, there's no problem. He'll only go back home, back to war. Means he'll get some reward. Similarly, if we don't give up devotional service, whatever difficulties come, one vow if we have, I will not give up devotional service, then surely, whether Krishna makes us whatever he makes us, he'll take us back home, back to Arjuna. We'll be victorious over the material energy of Krishna. That will be the lesson. So, but before that, before we discuss on these three things, difficulties in devotional service, second part, how to see that in right perspective and overcoming. Two things from the purport. First thing, Mother Yashoda had the son, the child, the small baby, an innocent child in her lap. And she also didn't know that she had the material opulence of the whole world and spiritual opulence of the spiritual world. Everything was in her lap. From that we can understand, since this is on the spiritual platform, meditating on Krishna is as powerful as having Krishna actually in our lap. Just by meditating, and we all know that Brahmana's story who burnt his finger. So I won't go into that elaboration. But meditation on Krishna is very, very important. And that's why Yudhishthira Maharaj glorified Vidurji. He said, Bhavad Vida Bhagavata Stirth Bhuta Haswayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swanta Stena Gadabhruta. Oh Vidurji, because you are carrying Krishna, who is Gadabhrut, who carries Gada in a club in his hand, because you are carrying him in your heart, you are actually Tirth. Why I need to go to Tirthas? I don't have to, I don't have to go to the Tirtha. So you can tell me whenever. I thought it's too loud close by. Okay. So he said, I don't have to go to the Tirtha. When you people who carry Krishna in your heart by meditation, when you people go to the Tirthas, you actually purify the Tirthas because they have got contaminated because of so many people visiting and taking bath over there. And you people make them again purified. So this is the power of meditation. And Prabhupada says about meditation in the third canto, where Kapil Dev describes meditation. There Prabhupada in the purport, he says, the Vedic literatures are full of narrations about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like the battle of Kurukshetra, and the life and precepts of great devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, etc. Now, simply, we need to concentrate our mind on one such narration. Now, remember this. Once, and the shloka says actually, Vaikuntha Leela Vidhyanam, that one should meditate on Vaikuntha Leela. So, most probably, devotees when they hear this, they go into another zone. They think, oh, now I have to go to Gopal Champu and Madhuri Kadambani, or go to some Babaji and hear some leelas, what the Goswamis, six Goswamis were meditating on. But Prabhupada in the purport says, simply, if we concentrate our mind on one such pastime, not even all, one such pastime, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, and even part of that, Prabhupada doesn't say that, but that's implied from other places. If we concentrate our mind on one such pastime and become absorbed in its thoughts, then we are in samadhi. Then, full stop, then he says, emphatic statement. He says, samadhi is not an artificial state of bodily position. Samadhi is the state of mind. Sorry, samadhi is the state of a devotee when the mind is completely absorbed in the thoughts, is virtually absorbed in the thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's samadhi. And this is called, by Prabhupada in the fourth canto, he says this is called sabij samadhi. Sabij means living yoga. And there is nirbij samadhi, nirbij yoga, which is dead, where the mind is forced to concentrate on Krishna, like yogis do. They go to the Himalayas and they focus on Krishna, try to meditate on Krishna. But how can you meditate on Krishna unless you have heard about Krishna? That's why Prabhupada in this purport, he says, the most powerful way of meditating on Krishna is the devotional service of Shravanam and Kirtanam. Means we should make it a habit of studying Prabhupada every day. And if we make that, it should become our habit to study. That's it, habit. There's no excuse of getting time or not. Because anything which is our habit, we don't need to spare time for that. At least after a few years of being in ISKCON, it should become our habit of studying Prabhupada. I need to. It's my nutrition. Without that, I cannot live. And if we do that, it's a very simple thing. Whatever we read, how many of you had a habit of reading novels? None of you. My goodness. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram Bhagwan Ki Jai, Shri Shraddha Shyam Sundar Shagha Bhagwan Ki Jai, Shri Gaur Nitya Bhagwan Ki Jai. Pardon? Comics. Okay, comics are also engrossing. But acha, how many of you had a habit of watching movies? At least that. I had a habit of going through novels a lot. And when you go through novels or movies, whatever you hear in that or whatever you read, if it's very engrossing, throughout the day and for many years, I can tell you many of the stories of Sherlock Holmes, just right now, because he was my favorite. So, whatever we read, if we make it our habit, after some time we start liking it. And when we start liking it, it becomes our meditation. And just by remembering this, that how Mother Yashoda must have been playing with Lord Krishna, throwing him. The first line of this purport says this, that she had a habit of throwing Lala up and down, up in the air and catching him, up in the air and catching him. If we just meditate and become immersed in that thought, that this Lala is the chubby child of Mother Yashoda. Then we are in Samadhi. And if we read this with Prabhupada purports, this feeling comes. When will that day be mine? When I'll also play with that small child. So, with that, the second part. Before we go through the second part, the real part of our discussion, in this purport, the first line says, Krishna, Mother Yashoda used to play with the child like that. And the last part says that Krishna gave Trunavarta the chance to play with him. I'm relating the two. Krishna actually, this is, I heard from somewhere, but I don't remember whom I heard from, whose commentary is this. But I clearly remember, I heard it, that Krishna actually got bored. Mother Yashoda, after all, was a woman. She had not much strength. And she was his mother. So she was not throwing him too high. And she wanted to go very high in the sky. That was his internal desire. So he thought, come on, yaar. Somebody should take him very high. So he inspired Trunavarta, who is his very great devotee in his previous life. He said, next time when I come to this earth, you become my... He didn't say that way. It was very bewildering probably for that devotee of Pandudesh, who was cursed by Durvasa Muni to fall down and become a demon Trunavarta. But, and for no reason actually. But that Krishna said, that time I will get bored. So you take me higher. I'll inspire. So Trunavarta came. He took him really high. It's described someplace. I was seeing. He took him 800,000 miles high. To the heavenly planets. Krishna became very happy. And then he returned back to his mother. Because that's not... He wanted to go to the roller coaster, Disneyland and all. But ultimately the child wants to come back from the Disneyland to his mother's lap, right? So similarly, Krishna came back to his loving mother. And now we come to... So this is the bhavartha of the purport. Of the purport's purport. By, I think Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur can give such... rasik bhav to it, rasik purport to that. So now we come to difficulties in devotional service. So I have already told, and you have heard Mataji describing that devotee, whatever his name I forgot, I couldn't actually pronounce the name, but it starts with Sir. He had 1,000 wives and he was taking a bath in the river, in Narmada river, and suddenly Durvasa Muni came there, and he did not offer respects to Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni cursed him, and then he begged pardon from Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni said, okay, next time when Krishna comes, you will become Trunavartasur, and by the touch of the body of Krishna, you will get liberated and go back home, back to God. Now, just think about it. Such great devotees, and there are so many other pastimes like Chitraketu Maharaj, same thing happened. Why such things happen to such great devotees? They were doing perfect devotional service. There was no mistake. Still there happens to be some misunderstanding between them and another great devotee. Durvasa Muni, by all measures, is a great devotee of the Lord. Though it said he is yogi, but think about the pastimes of Durvasa Muni, that pastime where gopis cross Yamuna river. And there Krishna on the one side says, I am a brahmachari, go and tell Yamunaji. She'll give. Come on, you are brahmachari. And the other side, they fed Durvasa Muni like anything. And then Durvasa Muni, they asked how to cross. He said, go and tell Durvasa is on Nirjal. Come on, Nirjal. So, he has such pastimes with gopis. He must be a very great devotee. Right? But still, such things, Krishna inspires devotees to curse other devotees and make them fall down. Parvati cursed Chitraketu for no fault of his. And Chitraketu bowed down and told, whatever you say, mother, it's on my head. And Shiva chastises Parvati there. He says, oh Parvati, and Prabhupada says in the purport, generally women are very proud of their material beauty, how they look. And you can see that. He says, oh Parvati, oh Varanand, oh beautiful faced one, you think you are very, very beautiful. But this Chitraketu has completely defeated you. because of your humility, because of his humility. And that's a devotee. So why such things happen? Why such difficulties take place in our life? The difficulties take place, as Prabhupada explains many places, to make us have a feeling of urgency, need for urgency, that I want to go back home, back to Godhead. If no difficulties come in our life, if everything is smooth, then we'll be in Maya, very nicely going on. We won't realize, unless a person is thrown into the water, he doesn't learn swimming. That's the way they train in the villages, Indian villages. So similarly, unless difficulties come in our life, we won't really put our whole heart, whole energy into devotional service. And we'll become sloppy and hanky-panky, and our devotional service won't take that zeal. Tivrena bhakti yogena. That's the first reason for giving us those difficulties. Another thing we have to understand from these pastimes, why Krishna does with these things with such great devotees, is to make us understand the statement which Prabhupada quotes many, many times, bhajan karle, sadhan karle, mrityu samaya janle ko. Whatever bhajan, sadhan you have done, how many rounds of chanting you have done, whether those chanting was sleepy chanting or actually you were aware while you were chanting, that will be tested at the time of death. At the time of death, we'll have only a fraction of a moment. Some days back, I was meditating on this. See, suppose after 1 hour, I'm going to die. Okay. I may be very, very Krishna conscious. Just one moment before that moment of death, when I get out of this body. But at that particular moment, I may not be Krishna conscious at all. And nobody other than myself and Krishna will know whether I was Krishna conscious at that particular moment. That's why in the letter, when the devotees ask what happened to Jayanand Prabhu, because he actually wanted to leave his body before Prabhupada. Prabhupada in the letter says, he doesn't say he went back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada says, if he remembered Krishna, he has gone back home, back to Godhead. Only Krishna will know what is our destination. But the benefit of performing devotional service is, neha bhikramana ashosti pratyapayona vidyati. The benefit of devotional service is, even if we fall down while performing devotional service, but we don't give up. We remain devotees of the Lord. We don't become averse to the devotional service of the Lord. Then we are on the safe side. Like the monkeys of Vrindavan. Prabhupada says, monkeys of Vrindavan, they were great sadhus in previous life, or pigs. Great sadhus, but had a little desire for sex life. And Krishna is so merciful. A little desire, no problem. Next life, you become monkey or pig. Fulfill your desire completely. Become satiated and then come back to Godhead. But that's not true with humans born in Vrindavan. That's only true with animals born in Vrindavan. Humans are karma yoni. They will have to. If they give up their devotional service, they go back. They go back into the material world. So, these are the difficulties. Why Krishna brings them is to make us yearn. That Krishna, please do not let me fall down. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj in his Beggar's series, he has in one of the books, he has a talk with the Lord. And I don't remember what he said. He was telling something, but exactly I don't remember. He was complaining to the Lord, Lord, I have so many difficulties, this difficulty, that difficulty. But then the Lord replied, that I cannot forget. He says, the Lord replied, what he says, these frustrations and realizations, oh my son, are the price you have to pay to return home back to Godhead. Beautiful. These frustrations, if we think about it carefully, actually the frustrations, the difficulties that we face in our life, they convert our Shastra Gyan into realization. Many times you can see, we have memorized some shlokas, some purports, but unless we go through some difficulties, adi daivik, adi atmik and adi bhautik, internal from our mind and body and from other sources, unless we get into irritating, disgusting difficulties, it doesn't convert into realization. We are not able to heartily pray to Krishna. We may have memorized so many shlokas praying to Krishna, but then we feel dry. We can speak in the Bhagavatam class, but when we stand in front of the Lord and when we are alone, when difficulties are there, we try to take shelter of some other demigod. And demigod, here when I'm saying demigod, doesn't mean demigod like Ganesh and all. Demigod means anybody more powerful than us. Doesn't mean we don't take care of don't take shelter of them, but our primary focus, which is the focus of pure devotees, all pure devotees, whenever difficulties are, Krishna Krishna Mahavira He Rama Moga Vikrama Dhavagnina Dahyamanan Prapannam Stratumaratha. When there was Dhavagni in the forest fire and the cowherd boys were stuck, they had only one thing in their mind: O Krishna, O Ram, who have insurmountable power, please save us. And then they say, Nunam Tvad Bhandva Krishna Na Charahanti Avasaditum. O Krishna, see the challenge, the kind of thing they are saying. They say, O Krishna, it doesn't befit you that your devotees should suffer like this. Come on, now save me. And then Krishna, what he says? He says, okay boys, close your eyes. And without reservation, they had faith on Krishna, complete faith, without reservation. Shraddha shabde vishwas kaile sudrud nishchay. They had no reservation. Oh, if Krishna doesn't save us then? Or if this is not Krishna then? They just closed their eyes and Krishna swallowed their fire. In the case of a sadhan bhakta, a neophyte devotee or a materialist, when Krishna says like that, he'll go like this. Maybe I'll have to take care of myself, come on. And you remember that story which Badrinayana Maharaj told here. There was a mountain climber and he went to climb the mountain but alone. He didn't inform anybody. He was too proud. He went high up in the cold season and from there he had tied the rope on his waist and he fell down. I'm going in short. He fell down from there. Nobody was there. No surveillance, no government surveillance, nobody, no friends. He fell down. And they carry a knife in their pocket. So he had knife. He fell down and it was dark evening. He fell down and he was hanging with the rope. At that time, this fellow was an atheist, a hardcore atheist. But at that time, even an atheist in difficulty calls out to God. Right? So he called out, oh God, please save me. Then God replied, there was a Bhavishwani. God said, do you really want to be saved? Do you really want me to save you? He said, yes, yes, yes. Do you really, really believe I can save you? Yes, I believe you. Then will you do what I say? He said, yes, I will do. He said, okay. And he could not see God. He only heard the voice and nobody was there. He said, take your knife from your pocket and cut the rope on your waist. Cut the rope on your waist. And then the voice became silent. He said, come on, if I cut the rope, I'll fall down, I'll die. I'm on the mountain. And he couldn't actually see. It was dark, dark evening. And it was very, very severely cold. So he kept on hanging. He did not cut the rope. And morning, the surveillance people came. They were looking for any mishaps. And they saw this fellow is dead just 10 feet above the ground. And you can see, 10 feet, if you would have fallen from 10 feet, what would have happened? So that's the way Krishna saves. Krishna's way of saving are miraculous. We can't comprehend how Krishna can save. He can put us on the changa. This is from the pastime of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He can put us on the changa. He can make an arrangement. A changa is a big roller down and then it's fitted with a lot of swords. And he can throw us, he can make somebody throw us from a hilltop on the changa. And we'll come like that. And we are dead. Everyone will think we are dead. And Krishna can save us. He can do that. He has that power. That's why he is called Yogeshwaro Harihi. He is the most powerful mystic. He can put us, the swords can go through our body and still we may not die. Bhishma Pitama. There was not even an inch of gap between two arrows in his body. And Bhishma Pitama says, oh my Lord, I'm not feeling pain at all. And he was not joking. Why? Because he was in the very sane, he had a very sane mind and intelligence. When Krishna said, you now tell Yudhishthira Maharaj how to manage the government affairs, he went on telling him for days together. I heard for months actually, 6 months. That's what I heard, whatever. So, he had proper intelligence. Why? Because he said, Krishna, now you are standing in front of me. You are so beautiful. I'm so engrossed in you that I don't feel any pain. And that's the beauty of Krishna. This is my analogy of trying to understand this. If we are in the summer heat, 12 o'clock, underneath the sun, right underneath the sun, sun is on the peak, blazing, hot. Will we feel attracted to any other thing? Our consciousness will be only absorbed in sun. The heat, the scorching heat of the sun. All lusty desires, all greed, everything will be gone. Shoo. Right? And Krishna, and this sun and moon are the eyes of Krishna. So how brilliant Krishna is. How charming, how beautiful Krishna is. If we absorb our mind in Krishna, in his pastimes, we will practically have no pains. And that's these devotees. Why devotees face these difficulties? Why we have to go through these difficulties? So that our meditation on Krishna becomes more intense. Our prayers, our meditation, and our sadhana becomes more intense. And there is no loss in going through the difficulties. We should never grudge for difficulties. Rather, in Maharaj Kulshekhar's mood, we should pray to Krishna, Krishna, give me more difficulties. Or Lord Brahma's mood, Tattenu kampam su samikshmanu, munjan eva atma kritam vipakam. Oh Krishna, whatever you are giving, this is very little. Give me more difficulties. Don't pray like that. Again, from one Bhakti Deet Maharaj lecture, long back I heard this lecture. I think that's Vrindavan lecture. I heard this recording. He said, we should pray to Krishna. Krishna, give me difficulties. He was talking about Vipadaha Santut Ashashwar Shloka. And then he said, how many of you will pray? And everyone raised. Maharaj said, okay, we'll. And everyone raised their hand, we'll pray. And Krishna, and Maharaj said, now it's between you and Krishna. Don't blame me. When difficulties come, you have to face it. That's why actually we should not pray like that. But Shamsundar Prabhu Prabhupada had a pastime. Shamsundar Prabhu told this long back. I think somewhere in Pune I heard. He said that in those early days, and still it's happening, people used to take their chappals. Wherever they keep their chappal, somebody will come and take their chappal. So they would remove one chappal in this corner of the temple, one chappal in that corner of the temple. So one day he had to go for a morning walk with Prabhupada and he could not take his chappal, so he went. In between the morning walk, Prabhupada said, why are you not wearing chappal? And he wanted to show that he is so renowned. He said, he didn't tell the real reason. He said, Prabhupada, in Vrindavan, I do austerity, I don't wear chappal. Prabhupada stopped. Very mercifully, he said, already there are so many difficulties in your life, or in our life. Why you are calling for difficulties unnecessary? And this is a very important lesson. We should not try to take service from Krishna. Krishna, Radharani are masters. We have to serve them. We should not do something by which they have to serve us. We should not call for difficulties. Already our karmas are not so good. Not artificially we should go start. Vipadha santuta shashwa tatra tatra. We won't be able to tolerate that. And that comes... That brings, this is the right perspective of seeing things. Okay, another right perspective, one shloka I will say. This was discussed previously in this class. But it was discussed in a little different way. So I'm trying to discuss the way it is discussed there. The shloka is about the asuras who were killed by Krishna, and especially who were killed by Arjun on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The shloka says, Tathaiva channe narloka veera yahave krishna mukharavindam. Netrai pibantyo, pibantyo means to drink. Netrai pibantyo, netra means eyes. Netrai pibantyo nayanabhiramam. Nayanabhiramam means pleasure to the eyes. Parthastra putaha padamapurasya. Those on the battlefield of Kurukshetra who died by the arrows, Parthastra putaha, those who died by the arrows of Arjun, because the Arjun's arrows were so fierce, they were so painful, such pain was inflicted on their bodies that they were purified of all their sinful reactions. And therefore, what happened? Nayanabhiramam. Those, anybody who is sinful will stand in front of the Lord. Lord will not be attractive to him. Many people saw Krishna, they were not attracted to Krishna. Only those devotees, yesham tantagatam papam jananam punya karmana, those who are punya karmana, who are pious, who have given up, who are free from impiety, only they can become attracted to Krishna. And therefore, these people, then Krishna mukharavindam ya ahave Krishna mukhar, when they saw the beautiful lotus face of Krishna with drops of perspiration sitting on the chariot as the chariot driver of Arjun, when they saw that face, they got attracted and they drank that beauty of Krishna's lotus face, and the heart was immersed in Krishna's beauty, and therefore padamapurasya. And therefore they went back home, back to Godhead. Not everyone who died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but only who died at the hands of the pure devotees, five Pandavas. Others may have died other ways also, by the elephants crushing, by horse breaking their heads, whatever. But those who died by the five Pandavas, because all five are pure devotees. And especially this shloka says, Arjun. So this is what it takes. The difficulties actually purify our demoniac hearts of its sinful tendencies. And then we become, gradually you'll see, we become more and more attracted to Krishna if we take the vow of not jumping from one temple to another, not jumping from one service to another, not jumping to one authority to another, just because I don't like the service, I don't like, because there are difficulties. That's why people hop from this place to that place. That way, what we do is we stop. We tell Krishna, I don't want to get purified. The better way of doing it is to stick to it and pray to Krishna. Oh Krishna, I'm not able to tolerate. Please give me the ability to tolerate these difficulties. Show me the right perspective. And that brings us, that brings us to the last two shlokas of Maharaj Kulshekhar. Beautiful shlokas. Don't recite after me, but if you have mobiles, you can try to see. It starts with Krishno Rakshatu No Jagatraya Guru. Krishno Rakshatu, the first shloka. But it's a beautiful shloka. That's how we should pray when difficulties are there. And of course, we should take shelter of the demigods. Like we have difficulty, we approach our authorities and say, Prabhuji, please, I have this difficulty, and put it in a right manner. But the main focus should be, only Krishna can solve my problems. That should be the main focus. So it says, Krishna rakshatu no jagatraya guru krishnam namadvam sada krishne nakhila shatravo vinihataha krishnaya tasmai namaha krishna deva samutthitam jagadidam krishnasya dasosmyaham krishne tishthati sarvametadakhilam he krishna rakshasvamam हे गोपालक हे कृपा जल निधे हे सिंधु कन्यापते हे कमसांतक हे गजेंद्र करुणा पारीण हे माधवा हे रामानुज हे जगत्रय गुरो हे पुंडरीकाक्षमाम हे गोपी जननाथ पालय परम जानामि नत्वामिना. So I'll tell the second part first. He says, hey Gopi Jananatha Palayaparam Janami Natvamina. Oh Krishna, now I'm in difficulties. But I don't know anyone but you who can save me. Janami Natvamina. And why? Because you are Gopi Jananath. You save gopis. You are Karuna Parin. You are the ocean of mercy. You are Gajendra Moksha Karan. You save Gajendra from the most horrible danger of life. Hey Gopalak, you saved your coward boy. Hey Gopalak, hey Kripajalanidhe, hey Sindhu Kanyapate. You are the husband of Goddess Lakshmi. So please, I don't know anybody, please save me. And first one is very simple. Krishno Rakshatuno Jagatraya Guru Krishnam. You are the protector of the three worlds, my Lord. So please save me also. Krishno Rakshatuno Jagatraya Guru Krishnam Namadvam Sadan. Therefore, I offer my obeisances to you, my Lord. So that's the feeling. We have to offer obeisances. And Prabhupada says, while offering obeisances to the spiritual master, somebody was offering obeisances. Prabhupada says, we should actually remember the glory of the spiritual master. Similarly, we should remember the glory of Krishna. There are so many shlokas. We can sometimes we offer obeisances like we are doing dips. Tick boom, tick boom, tick boom. You seen that? Means I feel like, come on, yeah. It's not just a ritual. It's a way to surrender. It's the most powerful way to surrender. So we should memorize shlokas and offer. There are many shlokas to offer. Like there is a shloka Agne Naya Supatha Raya Asman in Ishopnishad. Then there is a shloka, very beautiful, with this I'll end. Ishopnishad, second last shloka. Vayur Anilam Amrutam Athedam Bhasmantam Shariram Om Kratosmar Kritam Smar Kratosmar Kritam Smar. Prabhupada says, the devotee is praying. Thus, after doing full devotional service throughout life, he says, Krishna, I'm fearful of that time of moment of death. That's why Krishna, please, whatever I had done, I could do only a little bit for you. But whatever I had, energy, resource, and the sanity of the mind, I did that. And now, let the body get amalgamated with the whole of earth. And let my life air get amalgamated with the whole of air. Please, remember what I have done for you. Om Kratosmar, Kratosmar. He said, Krishna, please remember. Don't forget, I also did something. Konatrte khilguro bhagavan prayasa uttaranesya bhavsambhava lopaheto Mudheshu vai mahatanu grahartha bandho kimte nathe priya janananu sevitamna. Prahlad Maharaj says, oh Krishna, you are very powerful. Konatra, from you, what is the difficulty to save a mood, a foolish person like me? Konatrte khilguro bhagavan prayasa, what is prayas for you? Can you save me? And then he says, oh Krishna, those who are very big, very powerful, it's their duty to protect their subordinates. So, therefore these difficulties are there, and the way to come out of it is only and only to pray to Krishna and to study, which I started, to meditate on Krishna and to pray to Krishna. The most important thing is to everyday study. And I'll repeat that statement which Prabhupada made, which I took in the beginning. The Vedic literatures are full of pastimes, transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We need to only concentrate on our like battles are full of pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like battle of Kurukshetra and life and precepts of Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruv Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, etc. We need only to concentrate on one such pastime and become absorbed in it. Then we are in Samadhi. Samadhi is not an artificial state of bodily position. Samadhi is the state when the mind is virtually absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So with that, we should do what is necessary. Most important thing, Shravanam and Kirtanam. In that, the most important thing is loyalty to Srila Prabhupada, because if we stick, there's nothing that goes above Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the verdict of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He says, let all the Vedic literatures, all the literatures, all transcendental literatures of the world perish. If one literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, remains, world has lost nothing. So we should not go into that sahajiya mood of this book, that book, bahushastra, bahuvakya, chitta, brahmahoy. That's all. So that I'll end. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. One question, if I can take Panchavara Prabhuji, can I? One question? Any burning question? Before that, Prabhuji, comments? Comments or corrections? Prabhuji, first give to Rajvindya Prabhu. He raised his hands. Whatever you decide. But keep it short and sweet, Prabhuji. So that we start with Kirtan and pray to Krishna. The best way to pray. Oh wow, beautiful, beautiful. In Jagannath Rath Yatras, Prabhupada gave these lectures, and many lectures in Rath Yatras, he said, we have so many literatures, we have written so many literatures. If you are very inquisitive and you are learned and you want to know, there are so many 80 books, you can go through them. Otherwise, bhakti is very simple. Just chant Hare Krishna and go back to God. The best, as I said, the best prayer when Krishna Prabhu, Pavannitai Prabhu, what's his name? Radha Pran Prabhu, these devotees jump in Kirtan and chant like that. And when Panchavara Prabhu is singing wildly, not wildly means, very enthusiastically, and this chant like that, you be in that Kirtan. Anybody who comes in that Kirtan, he can actually perceive the seven flames of the Sankirtan Yajna, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, the seven flames which will burn up the covering of the material universe. When you are not just the overseer, even an overlooker, how you see, say, observer, from a distance, even if he doesn't jump into that Sankirtan, he just observes from a distance, there is an effect on, transforming effect on the heart, and he becomes happy. Wow, these devotees, maybe he will think enviously, these devotees take our dakshina, our donation, eat very nicely prasadam, whatever they call, ghee, doodh and everything, and then here, they want to remove their fats. That's all they are doing. But he gets affected, transcendent. And if somebody jumps into that kirtan, really it's ecstatic. So, that's the simplest way. But if we are learning, if Krishna has given us parents who gave us education, then it's our duty to go through Prabhupada's literature, to use what Krishna has given in Krishna's service. Otherwise, we'll still read Sherlock Holmes. Therefore, we should. Okay. Yes. Pran Govind. Bhajan karle, sadhan karle, mrityu samay jaan le.
So this has to be checked for oneself.
Of course, we should not check for others. They say you should not be judgmental. That's wrong actually. Judgmental in one conversation, Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada said, judgmental we will be because we have to associate with devotees. Who is on what level? We have to be judgmental. But the way we should not be judgmental is unnecessarily judgmental. We don't have to do anything with some devotee. Why judge? And why judge? Some things we apparently see, he's not following the four regulatory principles, he's losing his stocks, he's too much into prajalpa, he's not into sadhana, he doesn't get up in the morning, we don't see him chanting his rounds, or his rounds are spaced, lackluster. Then we have to keep distance because that will affect us. We have to keep distance. What to do? Otherwise, that has a pulling tendency, a dragging tendency, it will drag us down. So we have to judge, but not unnecessarily everyone. We should, most of the time, for the most part, we should mind our own business. That's it. Okay. So, everything for us. And Bhagavatam especially should not be read, studied. Prabhupada literature should not be read to give class. It should be read for transformation, and speaking will be a natural concomitant result of heart's transformation. We should study, Prabhupada is saying to myself. You can see, I'll end the answer. You can see Prabhupada's interview with BBC and CNN. Prabhupada is on the camera, but he is as if not conscious of the camera. It's not like that. He is actually preaching to that person. And generally, reporter ask questions for public. But you can see after some time, especially CNN interview, you can see after some time, the reporter actually started asking his own questions. He got involved with Swamiji. So, you should study Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Please forgive for my mistakes and offenses. Hare Krishna.